Join me in prayer. Oh Lord, it's in your light that we see light. It's in your truth that we find freedom, and in your way that we find peace. So shine your light upon us now as we open your word, that we might follow after you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today marks the beginning of our journey through the season of Lent, the beginning of our journey again alongside Jesus as he heads to Jerusalem and eventually to the cross. My church, Wyckoff Reformed, and Abundant Life, I believe, have been walking through the Gospel of Mark since about Christmas. Been using this story to walk alongside Jesus in his life, death, and resurrection, as Mark would tell it. Now, the Gospel of Mark is split up into two halves most of the time. A first half having to do with the mystery of who Jesus is. Who is this that shows up on the scene proclaiming good news, who casts out demons, who heals the sick, who teaches with authority, who commands even the wind and the waves, and they obey him? Who is this? That first section came to a close this past Sunday as we looked at a story where Jesus comes out and asks his disciples, point blank, who do you say that I am? It's Peter who gives the answer. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the King, the Anointed One. And just a few days later, we hear the story as well of Jesus taking Peter and James and John up on a mountaintop where Jesus is transfigured before them, transformed into the fullness of his glory, where a cloud of God's presence comes and overshadows them, and the voice of God is heard to say, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the King sent by God to set the people free, to make all things well. And with this first mystery answered, the second half of the gospel begins. And Jesus begins to teach his disciples what this will mean, what sort of Messiah he will be. And we find in these stories to come that again and again and again, the disciples just don't get it. They were expecting a Messiah with great military might, with political power, with wealth and celebrity, with status and prestige. And Jesus has to tell them again and again, I am king, but the king going to the cross. The passage we'll hear now in a moment is the second time Jesus seeks to explain what sort of Messiah he will be. And it's a perfect passage for us as we begin our journey in this season of Lent, marked by ashes, sealed by the cross, and following this King. So as we turn to the Word, I'd ask you to do whatever you need to do. If that's close your eyes, if that's sit up a little straighter, if that's follow along, do whatever you need to do to listen well to these words from the book that we love. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples and saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands and will be killed. 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." Now they did not understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about along the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was greatest. So he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever will be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and placed it in their midst. And taking it up in his arms, he said, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the anointed one, the king sent by God to set the people free, to make all things well. But as we follow Jesus and listen to his teaching, it becomes clear that this is not going to look like what we thought. The disciples don't get it again and again and again. Here, Jesus is telling them he's going to be betrayed and killed. He's going to lay down his life in an act of selfless love for all humanity. And they're off arguing about which one is greatest. Here, Jesus is emptying himself completely, and they're arguing about who's going to be on top. And isn't that our way? Few among us are immune to this search for status. We are infatuated with celebrity, with how many followers we have, with how we rank amongst our coworkers, our neighbors, even our family members. Who is the greatest? Who's the most popular, the most famous, the important? How do I get to be on top? As I was writing this sermon, preparing for tonight, I found myself thinking that I need to impress you and make sure you know that I'm a great preacher, maybe even the best one in this room. What is that about? Why are we so concerned with being on top, with impressing, with being first and greatest? I think it goes back to Genesis 3, to the fall. To that first temptation, to the serpent saying, you can be like God. That we could shed this mortality, this creaturehood, this dependence, that we could be like God, that we could be worshipped and immortal. And from that day on, we have not stopped trying to be like gods, to be on top, to be greatest. And then here's Jesus, who says that he is king, that he is in fact the Son of God, the Messiah, but that this means he's going to be betrayed and killed. And then he says that if we would follow, we too must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow. That whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. That we must give up this quest to be first and greatest. And tonight, as we're being invited to join Jesus on this journey, to follow him as he makes his way to the cross, we're being invited to hear this as good news. We stand now at the beginning of this journey, marked with ashes, to remember what Adam and Eve forgot, that we are mortal creatures, dependent, that we are dust and to dust we will return. And what if tonight we could hear that as good news? What if we could hear it tonight as an invitation to see ourselves as what we are, dust, shaped by God's hands, alive only because of God's breath in our lungs, that we are dependent, but dependent upon a God who creates us and promises to sustain us and provide for us. And hearing this, what if we could finally surrender, finally give up all our projects of self-salvation, all our pursuits to be gods ourselves? What if we could surrender our anxiety, our shame, our exhaustion from striving? What if, marked with the sign of the cross, joined to Jesus who gave himself for us in the first true act of selfless love the world has ever seen, what if, filled with this love, we're able to give up our striving for status in our own eyes and in the eyes of others? Maybe then we could finally take our place as servant of all, caring for the least of these, for the vulnerable, for the left out, for the left behind. Maybe then we could finally taste the abundant life that Jesus offers to us. So tonight, remember that you are dust, and to dust you will return. And thanks be to God. Amen.